All right. Back at it. So, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to do 3 hot seats. What's a hot seat? It's 10 minutes. Ready, set, go. Tell us about your business. Tell us about your problem. Tell us about your challenge. Let's solve it as much as we can in 10 minutes. I need somebody to be the timer person. Okay, and I need a volunteer who wants. Bill, you raise your hand first. Let's get this man. Let's get a chair here, and you can stand or sit, but you know whatever works for you. And so somebody give us 10 minutes. What would you consider to be a successful outcome of the next 10 minutes? That's the question.
Is it this morning?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Give me 5 ideas of the report.
He's run.
Give me 5 ideas that maybe I haven't thought of before, or how I can enhance what I've thought about before. Exposing our business offering to clients.
Who are the clients?
Hospitals. And they're high-level chief medical officers, chief nursing officers, CFOs, all the way down to the boiler bobs.
Okay, and you sell what?
It's called compliance services. We go in and ensure that, say for instance, an operating room is, from an environmental space standpoint, is having the right type of filtered air, clean air, air changes, the doors are working properly, and that's something that needs to be done every year, or at least once a year.
Okay. Is it true that this is prevention, not cure?
It's both.
Okay. Tell me about the cure part.
So when hospitals operate on somebody and there's nasty stuff coming into the airstream, they potentially could get reinfected.
Yeah.
So if we ensure that the air is clean, we could virtually cure potential of more infection.
Okay, so tell me a situation where one of these people calls you on the phone and they want to get through to you right now because they're a deep yogurt.
So there's a, every hospital needs to get accredited for different things that they're known for or want to be known for. And so there's this little entity called Joint Commission that Medicaid and Medicare basically require hospitals to come in periodically and verify and accredit that their accreditation is proper. And one of those things is what we do to ensure that these rooms are working the way they're supposed to.
Okay. Is this a situation where somebody in a black suit could show up, take away their accreditation, and now they can't do surgery until further notice? Is it like that?
Overtime, yes. Overtime, yes.
Yes. Okay, so so let's say that you had the ultimate accreditation 911 SWAT team. Okay.
Which we do. And to answer,
you do.
To answer your question, when Joint Commission, they know that Joint Commission is coming. Our clients have utilized this to come in to get prepared, fix any of the possible problems, come in and do an assessment of where there could be issues that could be found, and then be on site when Joint Commission is actually there.
Do you have a guarantee?
Yes.
What's the guarantee?
Compliance.
Or else?
You don't pay us.
Okay. So is it like money in escrow?
No, it's a service that you pay for us for it ahead of time. But as we're trying to market this whole thing, were trying to push the whole guarantee thing. We haven't talked about the what ifs.
Okay. If there's not a what if, there is no guarantee. A guarantee is meaningless without a penalty.
But you use the word.
Oh, I know. Well, it's a little bit of a four-letter word, actually, because it's meaningless without teeth, right? So what if your guarantee, and for the sake of time, I'm kind of making this up, but what if your guarantee was something like, if you pay us to fix your problem, and the next inspection doesn't pass, you get all your money back plus $15,000. I had a friend who, he sold these $4,000 pharmaceutical valves. And his guarantee was, if our valve is ever not sterile, it was a medical environment, right? If our valve is ever not sterile, we will pay to have a licensed, union welder rip the valve out of the tank and replace it with our competitor's product. And that actually did happen about four times a year. And it was $40,000 every time it happened on a $4,000 valve. So they just built it in as a marketing cost. Now, the guarantee will not always solve the problem all by itself, but the real impact of the guarantee is that if your company knows that if they do not pass inspection, that you get whacked big time, then that raises your level of excellence even higher and gives you the ability to charge a premium price. Okay, now, if you can get this down to the economics of how much money per day does it cost for a hospital to lose their accreditation, and now you have the economic value of that, and then you could even sell them some kind of some form of an insurance policy that says you will always pass the inspections, even the surprise inspections, because we inspect you better than the feds do. Now, give me a reaction. Obviously, the clock's ticking.
Yeah, the challenge is that there's no way to put a financial number on the losing the accreditation, because it rarely happens unless the whole hospital is going down the tank.
Okay.
And it's just kind of the time for, so they'll give them notice to fix it, and then they've got literally a year or two to make the fix happen. So
there is no urgency, actually.
Unless, you're talking to folks that are really concerned about safe patient safety, employee safety, that push that. So
one of the biggest things of any sale is what my friend John Mendoza likes to call the bleeding neck. Okay? If you go to the emergency room with a broken arm, you wait for 2 hours because the guy whose neck is squirting blood gets the attention first.
Right.
Okay? So we've got all these people in the hospital. Some of them are upside down, some of them are right side up, right? Of all these people, who's the one with the most blood squirting out of their neck when this situation arises, even the threat?
It's the facilities guy. It's the vice president of operations at the facility guy that reports to, all the way to the CEO.
Has your company written a book? Okay. There are people who, for some thousands of dollars, probably anywhere from $2,000 to $20,000, depending on the quality level, They'll sit you down, lock you in a room, interview you, pummel you with questions, and turn your whole thing into a book. The facility maintenance guy's guide to hospital safety accreditation or something like that. So here's what you do. You create the book. You print it for like $2.50 in one of these instant printing services like Lulu. Okay? And here's what you do. You want a hospital? You get the names of 20 of these people and you FedEx them that book all on the same day. And there's a letter and it says that, you know, if your facility is about to be shut down, we do an intervention. If you are nervous about your next inspection, we do a pre-inspection for you and we make all the stress go away. And you get this book everywhere. 95% of them won't read it. Just the fact, but it'll sit on their desk. It'll sit on the corner of their desk for 6 months. And they see it. After a while, they stop seeing it. But it's there, right? So now we like went super fast through this guarantee thing. The thing about guarantees is they need to be actually meaningful. It's not good enough for them to just be like ballsy, right? It has to speak to what these people really actually need. And it might be different. So like the facility guy would care about this part of the guarantee and the CEO would care about this other part of the guarantee and the marketing department would care about this other part of the guarantee. But, you know, so FedEx, $20. Book, you know, $3. Plus the cost to put the thing together. If you look at the economics of getting all these people's attention, it's, you know, basically for like $1,000 you can be in everybody's face. Somebody's gonna call you or send you an email or send you a text message or something. And you need to follow up like, okay, 2 weeks later they all get a number 10 envelope with a letter and then there's another one and then there's another one and there might be postcards. Snail mail, like, has almost no annoyance factor. Nobody's gonna get like, oh, you're spamming me. So that doesn't exist in snail mail. So, okay.
Good.
All right. Who's next? You put your hand up and then you after that. Okay. Alex, you are the next contestant on The Price is Right.
Excellent.
Thank you. Tell us what you do and what you'd consider be a successful outcome of today.
Sure, I run a training, sales and marketing training for Christian entrepreneurs, showing them how to get more results from their marketing so that they have more time for their family, for their faith, and to do what's most important to them.
Okay, and what problem do you want to solve today?
The problem is coming up with a great USP that isn't as wordy as explaining an entire story. For people to understand what they're getting from the Christian Business Academy.
What is the most successful thing that you have done so far to get clients? What works best?
Webinars.
To who?
Group presentations.
Yeah.
Typically to entrepreneurs who, it's either themselves or a small group. You know, they have maybe one or two people on their team, on their staff. These people are typically feeling like they're all alone, and they've had bad experiences investing in help because not everybody understands the dynamics of their faith, number one,
yeah,
which is very important to them.
Yeah.
And some things that they've invested in, and this is very common, don't take into account knowing that their family is a priority. And so it's just like work harder, work longer, do all this stuff, and it's costing them time with their family and loved ones.
They're gonna do more treadmill. Where do you find these people?
Typically,
in what?
Okay. Yeah, typically I find them from people that are already involved with them. So joint venture. So I'll find somebody that might be a blogger and they have an audience of Christian entrepreneurs. I might find somebody that has a Christian coaching company and they might not do marketing or sales. They might be like a Christian life coach. So they have lists of or relationships with my ideal clients already. And so we'll partner with them. We'll do a training, things like that.
What percentage of why they buy from you is like that you are simpatico with the faith thing versus what part is because they believe you know how to solve their business problem?
I would say mostly the I know how to solve the business problem.
How much? 70%? 90%?
70%.
Okay. So it's 70% business, 30% faith.
Yes.
Okay. And on purely on the business side, what is your unique selling proposition? What do you do better than anybody?
I help entrepreneurs build a platform to deliver their unique knowledge to people. And most of it is online based. Help them develop their own products, help them develop their websites, help them develop their own training webinars. So I help them create a platform so that they can start building their business using the knowledge that they have.
Like a marketing and publicity platform, is that what you mean?
I would say so, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, so there's like 10,000 people out there that do that.
Yes.
So what distinguishes you? And like it could be anything. It could even be just what niches you go after. It's like, so if I take this and, you know, all by itself, let's say that there's 10,000 people out there that do that. If I reduce it to Christian, if you say I'm a Christian build a platform guy, well now we're down to 500, except we're really down to 50 because like you hardly hear that out there, at least in my experience, right? But then there's the question of, well, to what extent are people really looking for this? So are you saying it's usually, it's a form of referral or a joint venture? Who's your most successful joint venture partner? Or with sending
yeah,
your people?
A life coach. He's actually, he's in the real estate market. And, a lot of people on his, not everybody, he wasn't really specific to the faith part. What's unique about what I do, which kind of ties into why it was benefiting to his audience, is that traditionally people would seek out clients one at a time. And so I teach them, and all the marketing training and consulting that I do is about reaching audiences. So audience attraction instead of client attraction.
Oh, I like that.
Teach people how to leverage audiences. So that's why, I mean, that's what I use. Like when I joint venture, I'm getting in front of somebody else's audience. If I do a webinar, I'm teaching not one person, but 100 or 200 people at a time.
And when you do these webinars that end up getting you clients, what are you teaching on the webinar?
Typically, it's how to leverage other people's audiences, or how to build your own audience so that you can get more results in your marketing with less effort. Really.
How much does faith come up in that presentation?
That's the, right now it's not.
Okay. So does that mean you have a bunch of clients that it's not about faith at all? Or is it always a component?
Well, it's who I am. No,
right.
What I do is who I am.
Well, me too.
Yeah. So
but
this Christian component really is me trying to narrow down who I do this for. Because I'm bringing the marketing and the sales expertise, and I'm like, who do I want to serve most? And so it was a decision that I made and still really haven't fully wrapped my head around it, is serving the Christian community, because that's what people gravitate towards me on social media and things like that, because I share my faith openly, I share marriage openly, I share parenting openly. And so they relate to what I do. But when I'm talking about business, it's really business. Let's talk results.
Okay, so crazy idea. This is pretty experimental, but let's imagine that somebody is, you know, they're in Facebook, and in their Facebook news feed, an ad comes up that says, "Jesus does webinars." Or "Jesus buys advertising." Or "Jesus at the National Book Show." Or "Jesus writes a USP." Okay? Now that would, now, see, you could target the intersection of faith and business advertising, and people that are in both of those circles, you could reach them on Facebook. Okay? You know, they like Chuck Swindoll and they like Anthony Robbins, you know, which is kind of a weird juxtaposition, right? But, you know, "Jesus does blank." Now, is that going to work or not? I don't know. But imagine, well, first, would that make you curious?
Yes.
Right? And you click on it, you know, "Hi, my name is Alex, and it seems like, you know, talking about God in business or, you know, let alone Jesus, is like strictly forbidden." Okay? But, you know, like, you probably wouldn't have clicked this ad if you didn't have some kind of connection to faith. And I'm really dissatisfied with the way that, you know, I meet so many Christians that they don't know how to be in the world because they're pulled in all these directions. So I'm doing a live webinar next Tuesday. Sign up for it. And like, let's, and we're going to do live Q&A, and we're going to mix it up, and we are going to talk about how you move in the ministry and in marketplace at the same time. Now, I think you get cold people that way. You could also advertise like to your clients, fans. You can advertise to anybody's fans. But, you know, if you use some of the tools and things to narrow down to the right demographics. And now, the two problems you're going to probably struggle with are, number one, people that don't have enough of a business to hire you because, you know, they're just getting started. You're going to have a lot of those. And so there's going to be a waste factor in your advertising. And, you know, like you can't ever count on those people ever turning into anything. And the other thing is this natural bias that any Christian audience has towards cheap. Okay? And I know other people that have like tried to be the Christian marketplace guy, and they get people, they just want to buy a $30 book. Okay? Look, I've spent at least $30,000 a year on my marketing education for well over a decade. And back when I was, you know, had way less resources, I was still spending, you know, probably $5,000 or $10,000 a year. And like, that's just the cost of a good education. If you want to go to good seminars, and I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of $19 and $12 books that you can buy, but if you really want to be on the cutting edge, you know, you need coaching. There's a lot of Christians that just don't seem to get that. But here's what does exist. What does exist is that there's people out there who've already been trained to buy who are also Christians. So you go to the already trained to buy audience and you call the Christians out of it. You do not go to the generic church and try to call the business people out of the church. You'll waste a huge amount of money doing that. Because the church, for the most part, is not business-minded, and they're all poodles, and like, you know, look, if you want to hire like a really honest, really obedient, really subservient employee who will not steal from you, they'll open up early, they'll close late, they'll fix the computer server, they'll be in charge of the passwords, you know, they'll jump up at 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning and go to the office and fix something, get a Missouri Synod Lutheran, a Mormon, or a hardcore evangelical Christian, and you're good to go. Okay? And the nice thing about them is they'll never try to take your company away from you, and they'll never open up shop across the street and try to compete with you because they've been taught to be so obedient all the time. Okay? You know, it even helps even more if they've been like in an abusive church background, because then they kind of, they have that, oh yeah, hit me right there. Yeah, it feels really good. So, but you don't want them. They are not your audience. I don't know who said it, like some famous person. You know, the salt of the earth people, you know, they ain't going to do anything for the money. And it was kind of like a cynical, you know, so you're going into Babylon and you're finding the people who are of faith, and you're going to find a lot of them, well, they're not like toeing the line. And you might even have to backdoor things a little bit. It might not be Jesus Does webinars. It might be, it might be the marketer with the crumbling marriage. And you'll probably have a disproportionate number of people of some kind of faith who it's bugging them more than it would bug somebody else. It's like, well, you know, I've been having this affair and you're not going to tell anybody, right? And like, can you, you know, and they're like, well, I don't know, can you help me sort this out? I think you're going to, do you already get some of that? Yeah. So, is that helpful? Okay. All right. And now, you are the next contestant on The Price is Right. And then we will do something else that'll be kind of special, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. So tell everybody who you are and what you do.
Hi, my name's Jennifer. My company is called Sales from the Heart. And I think I need some clarity as to how I describe that, similar to Alex. It's sales and marketing for business owners, but really I dive more into the spirituality aspect of things. I share my testimony, my story, how I dabbled in everything other than anything Christian-based, and then I had a near-death experience and how things transformed, and finally I opened up my heart not only to God but allowed these gifts to pass through, and I share them with others. So there's a two-part to that, the sharing with others. I probably give too much right now with volunteering, with my business, with everything else, and I'm in the process of taking my business to the next level and growing the next platform. And I, you know, that storyboard that you did, I'm right there in the loss, and everything is hitting me really, really hard right now because it's about to reach more people than my small core group right now. But in order to reach more of those people, I need to get really clear with what that message is. And the Sales from the Heart, I hardly even coach on sales and marketing. We're working on all the other stuff. And I tend to actually draw in people who aren't necessarily, they're seeking.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeking. I do even work with atheists, believe it or not.
Oh, I love seekers. The more angst, the better.
Yeah, and they are drawn to me because I come from that non-judgmental place where I can speak their language, especially the metaphysical and all that, because I dabbled in that for a while. Well,
got some crystals?
I do. I was in Arizona. I would go and I meditate.
Sedona is a thin place.
Yeah. I try to connect, but nothing connected me like the relationship to Christ. So let's get clear on that. And I don't even know if this is making any sense right now, because I feel like I'm all over the place and trying to do this. And I give complimentary sessions, which do convert. And I do speaking engagements, but then I have all those lined up, in between coaching my clients, and then I am hitting those people who can't afford me one-on-one, or they say they can't. And then I'm just opening up my other program into group coaching, even that at that price point. Some of them are saying, eh, I don't know if I can do this. So I know I can pre-qualify a little bit better there, but yet I want to give them this gift. Even with a complimentary session, I feel like they're walking away with something.
Yeah, okay. All right, so you're at X, and you want to be at Y. And can you give me some idea what X is and what Y is, however personal you're willing to be?
Sure. So at X right now, I feel like I'm spending more money than I'm bringing in because I'm reinvesting into the business and,
right.
and having people do the next. I'm not trying to do everything. Let's get really clear. I don't want to build the website and do all of that stuff. But meanwhile, I'm also being hit with personal expenses. I just found out I have to invest $1,000 into my car. My dog's butt just ruptured yesterday. Anal glands, not fun. If you ever have a dog, disgusting.
Okay.
That's a few $100 right there. Everything is hitting me right now. And oh, by the way, I'm supposed to have a collaborative book announcement is in that as well. And the publisher's saying, hey, you got to remove God from this, or you got to remove this from this. And I'm saying, okay, I'm gonna roll with this right now, and I know it'll come through. So, but when it's all hitting me at once, I feel like I can't even get clear with where I want to go now.
Okay, so what multiple of your current income would get you to okay?
What multiple of?
You're making X.
Right.
How many X's is Y?
Oh boy.
X times what is Y?
I feel like I need to at least double or triple that right now, which is funny because I tell my clients I help them double, triple, or 10X their business, right? So now all of a sudden it's hitting me.
Right.
And when I say that I help business owners, double, triple, or 10X their business, to me that doesn't resonate with sales from the heart and what it really is. It doesn't feel like it's really capturing that, but yet I can't necessarily market the spiritual component. At least I don't feel like I can. I do it through my story and who I am, but I don't feel like it's really that. I don't know if that's my USP or not. I mean, my USP I thought was sales from the heart, but then people are like, well, what do you sell? And then I try to stay away from the word coaching because I'm not a typical coach.
Okay. Well, do you have any trouble getting in front of audiences?
No.
Okay. All right. So if I have an audience and you get in front of it, let's say I get 100 people on a webinar. Does that happen sometimes?
I'm not doing webinars.
Okay, what do you do, live?
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, so 100 people in a room, that's even better.
Okay.
So what do? When there's 100 people...
Well, this just happened a few weeks ago. I was moderating an event, and I didn't feel like I could present my offer, but it just worked out perfectly where a woman stood up and said, you know what, I'm not clear with what my mission and my purpose is. And I said, thank you for sharing that. It probably means there's many other people here that feel the same way. And so I'll go ahead and offer a complimentary session. Just hand me your business card, write BB on the back of it, the business breakthrough, or even if you want a personal breakthrough. And I had, 14 people give me their business card, and then I worked with them. I had two enrollments out of that, and then the others, I didn't close them. Well, I shouldn't say close, but they didn't move into a program right then and there, and I kind of said, okay, we'll check back with me in a week, and we all know what happened there. Nothing. So I feel like I don't have that communication, that continued communication. From a marketing perspective, which is being built out right now. So in between that transition stage, I don't have an email. I have an email list of a couple thousand.
Okay.
I've never communicated with them.
Well, okay.
So in the meantime, I have to pay somebody to get that going.
Okay, so I got several thoughts. So how much do you charge? Like, give me some idea how you...
For one-on-one, the lowest is 1,000. It can go up a couple thousand.
Okay.
And then for my group program, it's from 300 to 500. 500 is the main price point, but I give exception once in a while to 300.
What's the men to women ratio of your clients?
My logo and everything is very girly. It's dragonfly, pretty colors, and mainly prominent men business owners for some reason.
Men?
Yes. They say, Jennifer, I have never told this to anybody. I thought I would take this to the grave, and I can't believe I'm telling you this. And even people that I've never met that just contact me through LinkedIn, they're opening up because I share with them my past with alcohol, with marijuana, with relationships. And so I'm very transparent because that's not who I am anymore. And I know who I really am and who I really work for. And so I share that, and it's also in my story and my downloads, stuff like that, so they feel comfortable talking to me.
Do you find that the men take business advice from you?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, and but before we can even go there, they have to get clear spiritually, well, at least what's in their heart. And I do volunteer work with people who come from suicidal addiction, anxiety, depression, you name it. And I've even had about 6 clients go through this program. So if I feel like it's a lot deeper rooted, then I work with them there, and that's over a 2-week process. And then we can focus more on the business at that point.
Okay, so here's a super high-speed compression thought for you. So let's say that, what do you call this program, one-to-one?
One-to-one coaching.
All right. So let's say that you come up with your, let's just call it your elite coaching. And let's say that that is $2,000 to $3,000 a month. Okay? And isn't it true, like, 2 or 3 of these guys would change your economics a lot?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So if you had 3 people times $2,500 a month, that would put you in a whole different space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would that... Are we getting out of the red if that happens? Or what do you want to happen?
Yeah, but then my red is going off in my head. Like, how am I going
to... Yeah, I'm going to tell you that.
Okay.
But I'm just asking, will this solve your problem?
It'll get me closer to my goal, yeah.
Okay, great. So what you're going to do is you're going to say, I've got this. Well, first of all, how much people will pay for this has pretty much almost everything to do with how much money they make and almost nothing to do with what you deliver. You could do this for $30 a month or $3,000 a month, and the only difference is who you're doing it for. It's the only difference. Okay, so might as well be the person that charges a lot. But frankly, that's true for me too. I try to give people the most absolutely state-of-the-art advice, profound insight, everything I possibly can, but you'd be amazed how often it's like, well, you know, fix this one little thing, and like, they could have read it out of an $18 book. Doesn't matter, okay? So here's what you're gonna do. You go, elite coaching is $2,500 a month, but I'll only take people on 2 conditions. Number one, you have to be simpatico with this minefield I'm going to walk you through. You're going to have to be a big boy, because we are going to stare down your demons, right? And, you know, when a woman lays a challenge like that down to a man, it's really hard for him to say no, frankly. You know, but you're going to be very upfront, and you're going to say, we're going to talk about your marriage, and we're going to talk about your girlfriend, and we're going to talk about, you know, your tax returns that you didn't file for 2 years, and like, you know, And that's this thing where you went off on your employee and you went super ballistic on him. Like, we're actually going to get down to what those buttons are. And when we're climbing around that closet, it's going to be kind of ugly, and you're going to have to calm yourself down and just trust me. Right? So it's like, that's number one. Okay. And number two, we have to be able to figure out how you are going to pay for this. Now, it could be like, well, the guy already makes $350,000 a year and paying you $2,500 a month is no problem. Done. But if the guy's only making $75,000 and he's going to give you, well, then you're going to have to like teach him how to walk on water or something, right? But like, you on your free coaching call, he's going to have to convince you that he can do what you say you're going to do on the multiply the business part. Like, he has to convince you that your plan will work for him. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, so here's what you're going to do. You got 2,000 people you've never sent an email to. So here's what you do. What's like the biggest single itch that you scratch for all the people that already give you money? Like, if you just got it down to one thing, what is it?
The pattern that I keep seeing is the spiritual connection. It gives them that peace of mind. It gives them that love, that unconditional love, which then prompts them to be able to focus on all the other aspects of their life, including business.
Okay, so I'm just making this up, but so I'm just going to riff here and we'll fix it later, but imagine, let's say that, see, when you do coaching calls with people, do you record them?
Mm-mm.
No, okay. Have you ever done anything where it was recorded and it was live and you led somebody through a process of what you do?
No.
No. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. You got 2,000 people. Now, if you load 2,000 email addresses and they never heard of you, and you load them into a typical, MailChimp or something, it's probably going to blow up in your face because they don't know who you are, right? So what you do is you take all these email addresses and you send emails one at a time, or like batch them 10 at a time out of your personal email account, and here's what it says. So, subject line might be something like, I'm looking for a brave volunteer. So it's from Jennifer, and it says, Dear Joe, I don't think I've ever emailed you before, but you came to a conference where I spoke, and I'm looking for a very brave guinea pig. I do deep spiritual work with people, and I normally charge, $300 an hour, but I'll do it free for the first volunteer because I actually need a case study that I can use in public. And you can be like pretty much anonymous, but I'll give this to you, if you'll let me use it publicly. And we'll edit out your name and whatever, but like, we're going to go deep. Now, out of 2,000 people, somebody's going to go for that, right? So then you record it, right? Now you send out another email. It says, Dear Joe, you heard me speak at a seminar, and I've never contacted you, but I have a very special recording of a deep dive. And if you reply back, I'll send it to you. Jennifer. Right? It's that long. Right? Yeah, go ahead and send the recording. So you send it back. And you send a link. 2 days later, you send them another email. And it says, I sent you that recording. What'd you think? Conversation open. Good.
Thank you.
Okay. Give her a hand. Did you say you had a copy of the book?
Yes, right here.
Yeah. I want to borrow
She's got one out.
I want to borrow it for a second. So I want to tell you a story. One of my favorite stories. About this was 11 years ago. It was about this time of year. I had a really interesting week. I had a, how many of you entrepreneurs or salespeople have had a caveman discovers fire moment where something you did was really successful and it was like shockingly successful? Okay? Like, wow, I just made more money in one day than I usually make in a month. So I had one of these things happen to me, okay? And it was kind of startling. You know, it's like, okay, you're breaking free from that rut. And all day long, I was thinking, you know, my brother-in-law's got this project in Mozambique, and they got a school, and they got a church, and they got a feeding program, and they're helping all these kids. How could I use my business to help the Mozambique project? And I was just crunching away on this all day long. Well, the other thing I was crunching away on was I had just read one of the best business books I've ever read. It was called The 80-20 Principle by Richard Koch. And it's a tremendous book. It was an epiphany. I just suddenly saw, like, made all these connections when I read this book. And what I was literally thinking was, okay, 80-20. So for any of you who might not know, 80-20 says that 80% of what you accomplish comes from 20% of what you do. And the other 20% of what you accomplish comes from the other 80% of what you do. So what it says is, basically, that here's the 80%, and it's very ineffective, and here's the 20% that's super effective. Right? It's the difference between this and this. And I was like, wow. Except, what I realized was, but wait a second. This isn't just like the 80 and the 20. What this really is, this is almost like some kind of a curve that goes up and up and up, and it goes higher and higher, and it never touches, which means that it's really like 1% of what you do produces 50% of your results. Like 1% of what you do makes 50% of your income. 1% of the clients you sell to make 50% of the sales, and it even keeps going beyond that. And I was like, this is a calculus formula. Now, I know that's a weird thing, but I'm an engineer, and this is what I think. And I was obsessing about this all day long. So I was obsessing about math in Mozambique, and it just so happened that there was this music thing going on right here. Laura goes, hey, you know, why don't you go to the music thing, and I'll watch the kids. So I go to the music thing, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe where Bill's sitting. And I'm just like totally in la-la land, and I'm thinking about calculus, and as you do, right? And I'm thinking about Mozambique, and I'm just totally in outer space. And all of a sudden, this woman just makes a beeline, walks right up to me, and she goes, hi, my name is Vivian, and the Lord gave me a word for you. Now, I was not from Planet Charismatic. I had been going here for a while. They were pretty, like, tame about that kind of stuff. So, like, the clutch is, you know, they're letting the clutch out. You know, and I've never had anything like this happen to me. And I'm like, well, this should be interesting. And she goes, the Lord told me that you are very good at math and you were working on some kind of formula or some kind of equation or some kind of invention. And you're going to figure it out. You're going to figure it out. Okay. And I look around. Like, okay, how many people are working on a math problem right now? Whoa. And then she turns to walk away, and then she wheels back around, and she goes, oh, and he told me something else, too. You want to support missions, and God is going to bless your business so you can support missions. Okay, now the missions thing, not so much of a stretch, it's probably a lot. How does she know I have a business? And I just, like, that, but with the second part, I just stared at her with my mouth open, and I was almost on the verge of tears. And I managed to say, I go, if only you knew. And she goes, just give me the biggest smile you ever seen. She goes, he knows. And she just walked away. I'm like, whoa. That was a memo from the head office. There was, like, no mistaking it. Okay, so I know you prayed for Grandpa, and Grandpa died, and all that. Yeah, I get that. But it only, like, has to totally connect one time, and you know. Okay? It's like, my goodness, that was crazy. Well, okay. So, 3 years later, I finally figured out the math formula. I would come work on it, and I would get stuck. It's like, no, the lady said to keep working, you know. So I just kept chipping away every now and then. Finally, I figured it out. Extremely useful. In fact, this is my book, 80-20 Sales and Marketing. It came out in August. If you see this blue line that goes up here, this is a calculus formula that I figured out, and it is scary how useful it is. Okay? So, for example, this formula says, if you have 100 customers who have each given you $1,000, and that's all you got, you know, it's like, I have a product, and I sold 100 units to, you know, for $1,000 each. 80-20 pretty much guarantees you that one of those clients would give you $52,000 if you had the right thing to offer them. That their capacity to spend money exceeds what they've already given you by 50x. And the next person in line, the next less valuable person, they'll give you 30. And the next person after that will give you 20. And basically what it means is that there's actually 3 to 5 times more money in that audience than what you've gotten from them so far. And there's ways you can figure out which ones it's going to be, and all you have to do is come up with the right offer and you'll get the money. It's very useful. I figured this out 3 years later. Well, another interesting thing happened. Later that year, my business started to take off. It was doing okay, but then it just started to take off. And what happened during the next 2 years was I started teaching, writing, training, and consulting on Google advertising. And like in 2003, when this conversation happened, Google was just this little weird company that some people used it, most people didn't. Nobody had any idea it was going to turn into the 800-pound gorilla of the internet. Well, a couple years later, like, you know, I'm speaking conferences around the world, and this whole thing's gone supernova. and it's all because Google took off. And I was like, And I go back and I look at what went on that week, and I went and looked through my emails that had come in that week. And Tuesday, before the Friday that this happened, I got an email from a guy I know, and he promoted what at the time was probably the most plugged-in seminar for internet marketers. And he had emailed me, and he said, I need somebody to come speak on Google AdWords at my seminar. Who should I get? And I said, you should go get Andrew. And he goes and asks Andrew, who's this other guy, and he goes, Andrew turned me down, and I think you should speak on this. I think you should come to my seminar. And I had never seriously considered this up to this point, but I knew what it meant. It was like, well, I am now in the book, tape, and seminar business of Google advertising. So I guess I'll do that. And I wrote a book, and I put some stuff together, and I went and sold it, and the thing just took off. And it was the same week that this woman had told me God was going to bless my business because I wanted to support missions. And for a long time, you could say that I was the only internet guru who owned a topic. It was like, there was lots of copywriting guys, and it was like lots of search engine optimization guys, and lots, but it was almost like there was like really one Google advertising guy that was out ahead of the rest. And my book on Google AdWords is the world's best-selling book on internet advertising. And what I understood was that God had been with me. There was no question about it. In fact, to me, it was like God was saying, you take care of the poorest of the poor, because Mozambique was the 18th poorest country in the world. You take care of the poorest of the poor, and I'll take care of you. That's the message that I got out of that. And it was just like, you know, every now and then, like, the heavens open up, and it does happen. You know, and your destiny can change. And I think, had she not done that, I'm not sure it would have happened. Because that's how shifting atmospheres actually works. Okay? Like, you have to walk through the door that's open in front of you. And it would be real easy to go, well, I don't go to this church, and I don't know that guy, and he's going to think I'm crazy or whatever. I don't think I'm going to do that. Well, she felt prompted, she did it. Well, she's sitting right here. This is Vivian. And Vivian, we have a mutual friend, Peter Payne. And somehow I told this story to Peter Payne. I had no idea who she was like. I saw her once later and then never saw her again. Who was that masked man? And Peter's like, oh, well, you had a Vivian experience. She does that to everybody. So I invited her here, and she's going to do that for you. You want a prophecy from Vivian? She's going to give you one. And very special lady. I've had her prophesy to my customers on a few occasions. I even brought her one of our roundtable mastermind meetings, and we had this little meeting going out in the hallway all day long, and you know, people would go, and they're like, you know, they're with Vivian and Aaron Kircher and Bam Bam or Nate Jennison, and like, they're getting this stuff, and they loved it. Now, they were weirded out by it. I mean, you know, like, this is not your normal business seminar thing. But, you know, I told the same story that I just told you, and I introduced her, and they're like, wow, that's okay, you know. And so, like, what's going on? You know, people would come back, and sometimes they're crying, and sometimes they're laughing. Sometimes they're like, wow, that was great. Like, what was it? Oh, just go, you know, just go do it. You know, it'll be safe, you know. They won't mess with you too bad. So anyway, I just wanted to invite Vivian here. And anybody that just wants to stay, and this might not be like a normal thing for some of you, the protocol is I want you to get out your phone and I want you to record it. And you are not to take this as some kind of infallible thing, because she's a person and people hear through cluttered filters, and you know, you know, you may decide that it doesn't quite make sense for you, and you could give it to your pastor, you could give it to your spouse or your best friend and say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? But I think you'll be blessed by it. And I think Vivian's awesome. So I said, Vivian, I'm going to put you to work today. Why don't you just come and, you know, and I think you'll find it very encouraging. And who knows, you know, you might have a little encounter with destiny today. So that's all I got. It's been a real treat. And just, you know, be ready to record it. She'll be up here and you guys can make a little line and away it goes. So we'll do that in a couple minutes. Meanwhile, it was just a really great treat to have y'all here and all your attentiveness. We had great hot seats from these brave people, and thanks for coming today. So Vivian, come. So you guys, you know, if you want to go, you're free to go. Those of you who, you know, it's like first come, first serve, get out your phone and be ready, and she's gonna bless you.